the high desert in the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the cosmos along all these time zones, every one of which is covered one way or the other by this program, Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. It's a weekend, and I am honored to be with you. It really is an honor. And I've got so much that I've got to kind of get off my chest. Remember, folks, life is not a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, "Wow, what a ride!" It seems to just fit, doesn't it? Awful lot of static on the ham bands tonight across America from Arizona, south of the border, on through the entire one half of the U.S., some pretty violent thunderstorms raging their way across the U.S. border. So there's a lot going on there tonight. And speaking of static, a couple of people I want to thank profusely. The radios that I use are made by a company called ICOM, and they've got headquarters up in Washington. And there's a technician up there who has been really, really good to me through the static discharge problem. His name is Bruce Weber. Yo, Bruce, thank you so very much. You and your company have provided wonderful support for the radios that you sell. So thanks. It's a personal thanks. And also Industrial Communications Engineers Limited, who constructed a very special arrestor for me, actually designed and produced it and sent it to me, in order to try and rein in the out-of-control voltage on my antenna, so I'm protected six ways from Sunday. But again, to both of you, thank you very much for all the help. There's a lot. This is going to be a really good night. We've got Ed Dames coming in the next hour, and a lot of what Ed has had to say has now started to pan out. None of it very good either. We'll get to all of that. President Bush was told more than a month now, they say, before September 11th, that Al-Qaeda had reached American shores, that they had a support system in place for its operatives, and that the FBI had in fact detected suspicious activity that might involve a hijacking plot. Now, to be fair to the president, and I really do think we need to be fair, I don't think there's any indication, or I haven't seen any, that they really knew what was going to happen. I haven't seen that. So I don't think they saw it coming. They saw trouble coming, clearly, but from what I've observed in the 9/11 hearings so far, they would not have known that that kind of air attack was going to occur. Hundreds of reinforcements joined fellow Marines besieging Fallujah on Saturday in Iraq, and the U.S. military said it would move to take the city if ceasefire talks fail. Now, this whole thing in Iraq over the last week is incredible. I mean, I saw on CNN a story in which, you remember when the statue of Saddam Hussein was torn down? Remember that? Big press moment and sort of the symbol, you know, of the fall of Saddam Hussein's regime. You know, the big symbol. I mean, that was it, the video symbol. They played it again and again and again. What they finally determined was that the crowd, while we thought they were shouting in support of America and shouting in support of the sudden freedom they had and all the rest of it, well, some were, but most of them were actually shouting the name of a cleric. That's what they found out. They went back and looked at the film, and it was determined that crowd really was shouting the name of a cleric. One of the clerics that now is, well, I don't know, it's the second or third, I guess it'd be the third war, right, with Iraq. But, you know, they have arisen, and now we're fighting a fairly serious war there. I was not in favor of attacking Iraq before we did. Very much spoke out against it. I'm sure many of you will recall. But now we are there, and now we must win. And it looks like we've got more of a job on our hands than we originally thought we might. Insurgents who kidnapped an American civilian threatened in a videotaped release Saturday to kill and mutilate him unless U.S. forces withdraw from the city of Fallujah. Very unlikely, I would say. We're not going to withdraw. We're there now. We have to win. We have to figure out how to win. And that's no small matter. A man I very much respect, Harry Brown, who ran for the office of president as an independent, has issued a statement about the whole 9/11 thing. And basically, Harry is saying that, as usual in America, we are asking the wrong question. Our American president is saying that the reason this is being done to us is because, you know, these people hate our freedoms. They hate what we stand for. They hate the fact that we are a free people, America. Harry says that's wrong, and what he says deserves attention, I think. He quotes Charlie Reese, who said, "It is absurd to suppose that a human being sitting around suddenly stands up and says, 'Hey, you know, I hate freedom, so I think I'm going to go blow myself up.'" That deserves a little bit of thought. Harry instead, and I don't agree with him fully all the way through on this, but he feels that what we have done abroad, what America has done abroad, and we are a warlike people, you know. We are. In fact, perhaps increasingly so. We are a warlike people. We might as well face up to it. We say a lot of things, but we do in fact encircle the globe with our power and our influence and our military, and that's what we do. I've got so much to get on. And anyway, I just sort of wanted to pass kudos to Harry. Not that I agree with all of it, but I do agree that perhaps we're asking ourselves the wrong question, because it wouldn't have so much to do with somebody hating our freedoms as it might have to do with what we have done around the world. And I think, agree or disagree, fan or not fan of the administration, or really every American administration, because we've always pretty much been the same, let's face it, we are a warlike people. We've been in a lot of wars. That's just the way it is. And so what we have done around the world, to some degree, Harry is suggesting, is now coming back to haunt us. And it's not that people, as the quote said, just get up one morning and decide to kill themselves because they're objecting to Americans' freedom, but rather what we have done around the world. Worth a little bit of thought, I would say. All right. You're going to enjoy this. At least I hope you're going to enjoy it. A major song, a writer, a singer, has not only written but sung a song about this radio program. You're about to hear it. Let me read you this. Last summer, when independent singer-songwriter Sean Hogan was flying home from working on his forthcoming album, he glanced away from the Midwest skies to catch a newspaper headline that read something like, "Conspiracy Radio, the New Format." Though he did think it was a little late for the horn blowing, as a talk radio format was nothing really new to Hogan, still, he did share the enthusiasm for the entertaining and late-night debate-oriented radio format. "It was a sign," says Hogan, "a sign from the sky," in a high-spirited tone. "I had always enjoyed late-night drive home from many a gig in the mid-90s while listening to Art Bell's radio programs. I thought for some time about writing a song about art, or would that be a boot art in a show? When I got home, I started to think about the mood it created when you listen to his program. You have to admit that anything that makes you think is generally a good thing, and art does that all the time," said Hogan. "I wrote the song around the headline, 'Conspiracy Radio,' its catchphrase, and in the end, I feel it captures the sense you get listening to the dark in his show. When I played the song, my co-producer, I thought it ranked right on up there with some of my best stuff, so it was initially only going to be on the next U.S. album. I decided we ought to put it on the new Canadian album, too. We recorded it, and though it is not entirely finished, it sounds fairly exciting so far." Hogan says, "I sent it to Art. He really likes it. In fact, he's going to air it on his weekend show. That's what I'm going to do." By the way, Sean Hogan won the Roots Artist of the Year award 6 months ago for his recordings in Canada. At the same time that he was having some of his first U.S. success with his debut international release scoring a top 30 American album chart position. So, if you listen carefully to the song I'm about to play, you will hear this program, the one you listen to, Coast to Coast, mentioned repeatedly. You will hear Area 51 mentioned. If you listen very carefully, you will hear my name. So here it is. I like it. It's by Sean Hogan. It's kind of country, but it's not exactly folk. I don't know. You determine for yourself. This is it. It's called Conspiracy Radio, and once again, it's by John Hogan.
After midnight under starry satellite skies, I lie awake taking in the cover of dark. Can't stop it, I hear that right. Life conversations beaming out to us all in the dark. Real life phone line on their experts. One in the world, things are falling.
Actually pretty cool.
I heard it all. You took the fall. There's a strange smell in the air. It's the devil you do or the devil you don't. It's a blood you must beware.
That's it. If you listen very closely, some of the words are pretty cool. shouldn't be snowing in the middle of summer. You got to listen very close. Anyway, that's Sean Hogan in Conspiracy Radio, all about this program. And I thought, not bad at all. Congratulations, Sean. And everybody's going to say, oh, where can I get it? Well, on his album, I guess. Now, we're going to have, after the break, at the top of the hour, Ed Dames is going to be here, the much-hated, much-loved, but always listen to Major Ed Dames, Dr. Doom, otherwise known as Dr. Doom. Clearly, one of his predictions has now come true. Well, more than one. The article is entitled, The Day the Sun Nearly Shut Down Earth. Comes from London, the News and Cities section. A wave of massive explosions which erupted from the sun's surface, you may recall it, actually came close to shutting our butts down. The solar flare last November, you remember that one? I was jumping up and down about it. The monster that they couldn't even measure. Well, now turns out, you may know, it was actually twice as big as the previous recorded biggest. So violent that satellite detectors couldn't figure out how big it was because they'd all went off scale. Totally, totally off scale. Now turns out it might have been as big as an X-48 with the, actually with the equivalent of 5,000 suns all at once. We had an aurora, but it was aimed away at from Earth. A shot, you might call it over the bow. I mean, clearly this is one of Ed's predictions, and clearly this is a shot across the bow. A shot across the bow, of course, doesn't actually hit the ship. It's intended as a warning. Ed Dames said there would be a shot across the bow by the sun. Clearly, this qualifies. In fact, let's see, what does it say? An accompanying aura was, in fact, seen, aurora, seen in the skies over southern England. At the time, one scientist described the power of the flare as being greater than, quote, every nuclear warhead being detonated at once, end quote. So if that's not a shot across the bow, then I don't know what it is. And the answer is, it is a shot across the bow. And then on to another one of Ed's predictions with regard, I believe, to the first nuclear weapon that's going to be used in anger. Well, guess what? It was in all the headlines. I got it from Matt Drudge. The headline is, North Korea says standoff with U.S. at, quote, brink of nuclear war, end quote. North Korea said Friday the standoff over its atomic ambitions was on the brink of nuclear war as U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney headed to the region for talks with key Asian allies. The Stalinist state's official news agency accused Washington of driving the military situation on the Korean Peninsula, quote, to the brink of nuclear war with plans for a preemptive strike on North Korea. Whew. Now, the North Koreans are famous, of course, for blustering around hither and yon. Very, very famous for that. And they, you know, they frequently say things like this. But I'll tell you something. When you consider what we did to and are doing to Iraq, and our major motive for doing so, of course, was their possible weapons of mass destruction. So, if that really was the motivation, then we obviously had much more motivation to attack Korea, didn't we? Because Korea has nuclear weapons. Korea has lots and lots of nuclear weapons. Well, I guess I should qualify that. Not like Russia, but how many do you need? And we're one to go off. They also, by the way, have the means to deliver it possibly to as far as the U.S. West Coast. And would they do something like that? Yes, they're crazy. The North Korean regime is clearly crazy. And I mean crazy in the truest sense of crazy. They are whacked out. They're whack jobs. And they may be fully capable of suicidal moves, of course, if we were to be, you know, if a nuclear weapon went off. on the West Coast somewhere, we would obliterate the nation of North Korea would cease to exist. And I can't imagine they would doubt for one second, but that we would literally obliterate their country. Anyway, my point is that with regard to two predictions Ed has made, one has already happened. That X-48, no question about what it was. It was a shot across the bow. And with respect to North Korea, well, there's not very much question about that one either, because when you look at a headline like this, you know that something awful can't be far away. This bumper music was done by Jim Watkins to celebrate the great Dean Scream. Listen carefully. That's right. Friend of mine, Jim Watkins, put this together. Listen carefully. Celebrates it pretty well, huh? Tell I like this bumper music. Yeah, you probably can. I want you to listen to the phone numbers coming up very carefully, because we're about to do open lines, and the numbers are a little different here on the weekend. So, listen carefully.
To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is. The Associated Press reports the following from Juneau, Alaska. A bird beak deformity first recorded among black-capped chickadees near Anchorage is now being increasingly seen in crows all along southeast Alaska, broadening an already mysterious phenomena. Black-capped chickadees, northwestern crows, and 27 other species of birds in Alaska have been reported with beaks up to 3 times their normal length. The deformity often strikes mature birds and reduces their ability to feed and preen effectively. In many birds, the deformity leads to death. Said Colleen Handel, a wildlife biologist with the U.S. Geological Survey's Alaska Science Center in Anchorage, we don't know what's causing the problem. She's been looking at it now for 5 years, doesn't have the slightest idea what's going on with the birds. Nor do I, but I can tell you this. There's going to be more and more of this. More trouble with the foliage, with animals, with frogs, with other, well, I call them parakeets, you know, like the ones you take into the mine to be sure that, you know, parakeets keel over, right, when the air is too noxious for humans to breathe, and they give us a little warning. So what you're hearing right now is like the noise coming from a parakeet. as advertised. Let's do it. Open lines. Wildcard line, you are first on the air. Good evening. Morning, something. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Earlier you were mentioning Harry Brown and and us being a warlike people.
Yes. Harry, of course, is a Libertarian candidate, was a Libertarian candidate.
Right.
Brother,
right.
And I'm also a registered Libertarian, in case you're curious.
Okay, yes, I'm well aware of that. What my question is, I mean, can you mention, or can Harry Brown, or can anybody come up with a culture or a nation state or anything, any group of people that has not been a warlike people?
Probably not. And,
other than possibly the...
Hold it, sir. When I say we're a warlike people, that's not necessarily any knock on us at all. It's just what we are. And the world is a warlike place.
Yes.
So,
I would agree with that. And that being the case, I mean, especially with, in the case of,
you mentioned Harry. Let's go to what Harry said, okay? Harry was saying that, you know, our president is saying that these people are doing what they're doing because they hate our freedoms, sort of. Right? He said that. So,
sort of, yes.
Yeah, so I think it's more like Harry said, that it's what we've done around the world. And I'm not rendering some harsh judgment on it. I'm just saying it's a fact. We're warlike people like the rest of
like
the rest of the world.
Like the rest of the world.
Maybe a little better. Maybe a little better than Russia and China.
Well, I don't know. I'm not making a judgment call on it. All I'm simply saying is that the Arabs, They have not been a warlike people. Their religion is not a warlike people. And
wait a minute now.
How does someone respond?
The Arabs have been a warlike people too. I mean, come on, where are you coming from? Look at your recent history in the Middle East. What do you mean they're not warlike?
I didn't say they weren't warlike. I said they are warlike.
Oh, they are warlike. I'm sorry. I thought you said they weren't.
No. So I'm saying that we are responding in kind.
I've got no argument with you, and I don't think in the end you've got one with me either. I think we pretty much agree.
Well, that could be the case. Yeah, you might be very right.
You know, I think that. Thank you very much for the call. I think people take statements like that as, man, that's anti-American. No, it isn't. It's an observation of what I consider to be just a fact. We are a warlike people. We're maybe a little better on balance than the communists were in Russia, and the communists are in China, and some others. But in the end, we're still warlike, and we do warlike things. So if you get away from our own propaganda, and Americans are propagandized like every other nation on the face of the earth, then our acts don't look all that different. You know, it's a warlike world. We're just real good at it. In fact, we can make bombs that go right through windows. You know, I mean, you pick the window pane you want it to go through, and you can put that 1,000-pounder dead on through. We're pretty good at it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, sir. On the air you are.
East of the Rockies, yeah.
That's
okay, number, I got three things.
Oh.
One, I'm a veteran combat medic from Nam.
Hey, brother.
And the thing is, the other day I heard our Secretary of State refer to this cleric as Mahdi.
Mm.
Now, there's another pronunciation for that, and it's called Mukti.
Mm.
Now, the thing is another great general went up against the Mukti. His name was Gordon of Khartoum.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, if this cleric is considered by Muslims to be the Mahdi,
mm-hmm,
we got a lot bigger problems than we think we do. It's not just Iraq.
Oh, we have very large
problems. Now, number
problems.
Above all of it,
yeah,
our troops are there. We'll settle how they got there later.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's now a done.
You know, we got Quintilius Varus in the White House. You can look that one up.
Yeah, well, anyway. Anyway,
he's the one that lost in the German forest. And
yeah, but anyway, sir, fact is, we're there, so what now?
Oh, yeah.
So what now?
We got to get the job done somehow.
What do you think needs to be done?
A lot of psyops, psychological operations.
Think
in
so?
The Moro Rebellion in the Philippines, they in order to interrogate the Muslims, they wrapped them in pigskins, which meant they couldn't go to heaven.
Yeah, I know the theory. You know, I would recommend that any of you who would like to give this some thought and email me, I'd appreciate it. I'm easy to email, artbell@mindspring.com or artbell@aol.com. And instead of arguing about how we got there, because that's now an accomplished fact, we're in Iraq, and we're presently having one hell of a time of it. The question is, where do we go from here, and what, if anything, is the exit strategy with regard to Iraq? Nobody wants to be remembered as losing another war, right? We are perceived as having lost the Vietnam War because we turned tails and we got out of there. If we were to do that with Iraq, it would be perceived that we lost. We're not going to do that. I mean, it's clear to me we're not going to do that. So what should the strategy be, number one? And number two, how do you foresee an exit to it? Where down the line is there any way for us to get out or get it sufficiently under control that we can get the oil, which is probably why we went there in the first place? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art Bell.
Hello.
It's nice to talk to you again, and I'm glad that you got over your back problems. I was just diagnosed with
degenerative. It's called losing weight.
Oh, yeah. Degenerative disc disease. But my question for you, I would have emailed, but I don't have a computer, but you used to play a song by Lorena McKennitt as bumper music, and it used to be a theme song for a show series that was on a short time. Do you remember what the title of that might have been?
No, you're missing it. It's not Lorena McKennitt. You're talking about the one I played at the bottom of the hour, right?
No. You haven't played this one for, it's been like maybe a year ago. You used to play it quite often.
Now you have me confused. I've got quite a bit by Lorena McKennitt, but nothing that I am aware of that was connected with a TV show. The only one I play that was connected with a TV show was Boomba by Matisse, and that was...
that's the one you just did. Is Lorena. Okay. Thank you anyway.
I'm very sorry. I couldn't help. Maybe I'll think of it later. International Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Art.
Where are you?
I am in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
Winnipeg. All
right. In the middle.
Good to have you. What's up?
Well, I woke up this morning with quite a start. Like, I don't want to scare you or anything, but it had to do with you. It was a bit of a premonition.
Oh.
I woke up, I usually fall asleep listening to every night, and I woke up this morning and I heard the strangest thing, and my heart started racing. I sat there and listened for a whole hour for the news to come around again to make sure I hadn't heard something wrong. But I didn't hear it again all day, and I figured it would have been huge news.
What was it?
As it was when you retired, but it was there was a gun battle, and you were killed in a gun battle.
I was.
Yes, and it specifically was one where you were, it just said you were killed in a gun battle in which your son was injured. And there is a news story that has been circulating about the Al-Qaeda guy, he was a Canadian. And his sons were, and they were in Afghanistan, and he was shot, and he was killed. And his son was paralyzed, and he just came back to Canada because they have a one-time-only thing where they can use where they can come back to Canada as we have a right to return, no matter who you are or who you're connected with. But that gave me quite a fright today. And I was just nervous. I listened to the radio all day, and when you finally came on at 12, I just had a huge sigh of relief. And I don't know whether that was just,
well, imagine how relieved I am. All right, sir. Thank you very much. Take care. No gun battles. One never knows. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, is this Art?
That would be me.
Yes, sir. This is Rich from Tomball, Texas.
On a cell phone, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, extinguish your radio.
I turned it down low, but I...
No, turn it off, all the way off.
How's that?
All the way off. There you go.
Completely off.
Yes, indeed. All right, so what's up?
Okay. This bumper music that you play?
Well, yes.
I would like to know the person that sings you. A few nights ago, you played this song. It's called Over the Rainbow.
Oh, no, that wasn't me, and so I'm not going to be able to help you out. That would have been George. And what you want to do is call during the week, sir, and speak with one of the producers and they will be able to tell you all about it. I don't play that, so I'm sorry I can't help you. East or Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Arbel.
Yeah, howdy.
I'm in a dark Houston, Texas, in a candlelight. Anyway, two things. One.
I want to ask a little bit about that. You say you're in candlelight. Is that because you don't have lights?
That's correct.
Is that because of the storms?
Very, very, very severe storm, correct.
Let me tell you, it has been, I was watching the lightning map, and across half of the United States, between the U.S. and Mexico, there must be some awful stuff going on. What was it like there?
Well, we had two tornadoes within about a quarter mile of my house in southwest Houston, and on the radio, on the Doppler, on the television,
yes,
the whole screen was just purple.
Yeah, oh, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And that greenish-purple lightning?
I know exactly what you mean. I looked at it and went, oh, my God, somebody down there is getting slammed.
Oh, boy, it is. It was. Well, one thing on the methane that they were talking about on Mars.
Yes.
What's kind of interesting to me is being down here in the Gulf Coast, we pay a lot of attention to what goes on in the drilling and going on out there in the Gulf. You know, they've found a lot of methane down there in the bottom of the Gulf, which is very, very deep canyons, which resembles a lot, like they say, the surface of Mars.
Yes.
And there are these little snake-like worms that they call that live down there.
Right. Well, that's where...
And they're in water.
The methane, sir, comes from life. Comes from life.
And I've just, on a secondary thought, you know, a long time ago, you know, you can go with religious or whatever. You know, what if the planets got reconfigured by a blast of a star, and let's say instead of Earth, Mars, and Venus, it was Mars and then Earth. Well, what if the life on Mars, if it is there, even if it's not this worm or whatever it could be, gets re-implanted by us going back to Mars? I wonder if that would accelerate anything.
there are all kinds of interesting possibilities. I mean, we just finished saying, other than the two rovers that we most recently sent to Mars, everything previous to that was not sterilized. Therefore, there could have been microbes all over the probes that we landed on Mars. And when and if we do finally establish, without question, there is life on Mars, we are not going to know if it's life that was native to Mars or, in fact, put there by us. That's one big problem. And then, as was pointed out by, I guess, last week, and this caller didn't exactly point out, but it's the same thing, we're sending a probe right now to recover the leavens of a comet. In other words, comets were once thought to have perhaps even seeded life. So we're going and we're getting comet dust and eventually Mars dirt and dust and organisms, and we're going to bring them back. And you've got to wonder how good an idea that would be. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, okay. I'm on now?
Yes, you are.
Oh, listen, Art. I got something to say. You know, you guys, sometimes I love you. I love your show and everything. Sometimes you guys, you know, you talk about the Iraqis hating us. And we know since the Shah of Iran and all through the Middle East, the thing this country has done, I mean, you know, you really can't blame them. Sometimes...
Well, look, there are legitimate reasons for different peoples around the world to hate what we've done. I guess that's the point that Harry was trying to make. We have done a lot around the world.
Oh, man.
Right? There's no arguing that.
Right.
You can make it look better because we're America, and I guess we try to do a notch or two better, but hey, basically, we're doing the same thing. We're at war.
Right, but listen, sometimes it's scary. You know, to say we're warlike and that we're wrong, that is the most pro-American thing that you can say, because we got to express our opinions. And what we're doing in Iraq is not insane. I'm sure it's a reason, but sometimes you talk about warlike as if it's okay.
No.
It's not okay.
No, it's not okay. I'm not saying it's okay. And I don't mean it to come across that way at all. What I personally feel, I'm separating from what I observe. And what I observe is that we're a warlike people like the rest of the world. We're not any different, maybe a little better in some ways, but not in any big ways. We're still out there at war and killing people.
Okay, in the case of North Korea, if I was North Koreans and the United States was parading around with, I mean, to what we're doing in Iraq, I would turn my nuclear electricity over to making weapons, too. Because, you know, the United States, willy-nilly, almost, you go into another country. Basically, we took over, you know, Iraq, took over a country,
yeah,
basically, because of whatever. But how can we tell another country that we should be the only ones with nuclear weapons?
Because that's what we are. I mean, we are, after all, interested in our own welfare, aren't we? And do you have to apologize for that? I don't think so. You don't have to apologize for being interested in your own welfare. And no, we don't want those crazy bastards in North Korea to have nuclear weapons. I don't either. Do you? They are crazy. Go and do a little reading about North Korea. So I'm not going to apologize for acting in our own best interest, although I might argue a bit about what our own best interest is. I'm not sure that at the time we invaded Iraq, that we were invading the country that was really threatening us. Didn't turn out to have weapons of mass destruction, but Korea does have them. North Korea not only has them, but they're threatening to use them. So if the measurement was our own self-interest, what America best does to protect herself and her people and her borders, then probably attacking North Korea would have been a better bet. Wouldn't you think? Let's see, on the one hand, we've got a country like Iraq, which we thought might have something. And on the other hand, we've got a country like North Korea that says we do have something. We know they've got nuclear weapons. Moreover, they're stating they're going to use them. On us! You know, they've talked about attacking California with a nuclear weapon. So, I'm not an apologist for a nation like ours. It protects its own. That's what we have to do. I'm simply saying that weighing everything together, and that's what I'm trying to do here, we'd have been better off attacking North Korea. Taking the damn things away from them before they do use them on us. Well, that's an interesting start, all right, to an hour coming up. Actually, the next 3 hours coming up with Major Ed Dames. Now, Major Dames has hit a few recently, really big ones, like that shot across the bow thing. I'll read that story again. There's no question about it. That was it.
Get it in writing with the After Dark newsletter. Subscribe by calling 1-888-727-5505.
Up through tarmac to the sun again, or to fly to the sun without burning a wing, to lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing, to have all these things in our memories hoard, and they use them to help us to find.
Take a ride? To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Ah, the inevitability of it all. Larry of Los Angeles, California, tenderly writes, let's all just agree to hate America, Art, and get it over with, huh? Odd how all the calls reflect one viewpoint. Who screens them? Okay, an hour of Bush bashing is a whole program to go this way. Oh, Larry, you're so full of methane. How could you possibly, and yet I knew they would, have interpreted my remarks as anti-American? They're not. I love America. I've been all around the world, Larry. This is the best nation on the face of the earth. You have more relative freedom here than you do anywhere else in the world. You have more of an ability to express your point of view than anywhere else in the world. This is the best country in the world by far. So I never said that. And as far as screening calls, no one screens them. I just pick them up. Had you called, Larry, you would have known that. I never screen calls. And as for an hour of Bush bashing, no, indeed not. Wrong again, Larry. Wasn't that at all. I said we're a warlike people. America is a warlike nation, and that just makes us like the rest of the world. That's all. That's not a bash. In fact, we do what's in our best interest. And I was arguing that in our best interest, we would have or should have, perhaps based on reality, attacked Korea, not Iraq, Larry. There is nobody that comes on this program more loved and hated than Major Ed Dames. Major Dames is the world's foremost remote viewing teacher. Edward A. Dames, Major U.S. Army, retired now, is a decorated military intelligence officer, an original member of the U.S. Army Prototype Remote Viewing Training Program, served as the training and operations officer for the Defense Intelligence Agency's Psychic Intelligence, or PSIIMT, collection unit, and currently serves as executive director for the Matrix Intelligence Agency, a private consulting group. Ed is a technical consultant for the feature film Suspect Zero, plays the role of an FBI remote viewing instructor in the movie as well. As I said, there's nobody more loved nor hated on this program than Ed Dames. He's been appearing with me for years. And two of the things that we discussed earlier tonight, the North Korean brink of nuclear war headline, and of course the day from London, the day the sun nearly shut down the earth. It happened in November. And we now have learned that it was the biggest spit of the sun, of our sun, in all measurement, in all the time, short as that may be cosmically, that we've been even measuring what the sun does. And it definitely qualifies as what Major Ed Dames called the shot across the bow that we could expect before the kill shot. There can't be any argument about it. I read you this entire article, the magnitude of what the sun did. It was the shot across the bow, was it not, Ed?
Correct.
Ed, you're in Hawaii right now, aren't you?
I'm home in Maui at the moment, although your Canadian listeners will be happy to hear that I'm teaching my first workshop in Edmonton soon.
Oh, really?
And that'll be the first there. I've got one in Maui next month, too, and that's my first in the islands here at home. Usually I teach away from home.
Yes. Why did you move to Hawaii, Ed?
Beauty and peace. I came from a very violent background, so I was attracted to the peacefulness of the islands, and I've always been, loved the ocean, so as much as you probably love the desert.
It's very peaceful in Hawaii. That's quite true. In Maui, oh my God, there's some beautiful parts of Maui. You can take some drives on Maui that almost are prehistoric in nature. I mean, the plants and flowers that you see are just beyond all belief as you drive up. I spent some time there, right, as you know.
I just literally almost bumped into the California governor yesterday morning as I was taking off my dive gear.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So lots of people come here for a break.
And what was the governor doing there?
Scrolling.
Yes. All right, well, look, I just, in the first hour of the program, and I know you didn't hear because our time for the program is offset there in Hawaii, I spent a lot of time talking about several things. Of course, the current war situation, but also the day the sun nearly shut down Earth. Clearly, the shot across the bow. I guess, you know, this is kind of reverse of the way we normally do things. Remote viewing, I mean, most of my audience is, by now they know what remote viewing is, but I suppose we have this responsibility. A remote viewer is a trained, disciplined psychic, really, aren't they?
I think that's, what we do is we turn that innate ability that we all really have into a skill. That didn't come easy. It came at a price of about 2 decades and $20 million worth of research to find out how to do that accurately, how to turn one's unconscious attention to any idea whatsoever, lock onto it, and to produce information about that idea, whether it's a person, place, thing, or event, accurate information. Now, the things that we're talking about mostly tonight are predictive intelligence. Very valuable to military intelligence. But when I retired, I turned my attention towards civilian scenarios rather than military.
Boy, you sure did. You actually turned your attention toward things that a lot of the general public really does want to know about. And so, you know, you're very different than most of the other remote viewers, and I think I've interviewed just about every single one of them, Ed, and they all mention you, and they all, nobody really has a bad word to say about you, by the way, Ed. The other remote viewers are generally quite respectful.
Most of them work for me, either in the military or in the civilian capacity or both.
Mm-hmm.
But what I deal with are things that I think are important because these events, the kinds of events that we've been talking about on your show for 7.5 years, and we'll again tonight, are going to take the most human life. These are the events that will kill the most people. And therefore, I feel almost responsible, I suppose that's an apropos word, to get the word out just in terms of warning. Take it or leave it. But these particular, and I'll set the stage for this momentarily, these things are going to kill a lot of us. And so I think the ignorance is not bliss in terms of indicators and warnings.
For some people it is. Now, for some people it is, Ed. Ignorance is bliss. And I'll tell you something right now. Those of you who are scared and made ill at ease by very serious predictions, some pretty doom and gloomy, you really should turn off your radios. Because, Ed, some people are much more blissful if they don't know, and they don't want to know, and I understand that. There are some things even I don't want to know, and I suspect some you don't want to know. I've asked you a couple times, have you ever remote viewed the manner of your own death? And I think I recall that you chose not to.
Correct. I'm not really interested in that.
Well, I wouldn't want to know about mine either. There's a lot of people who don't want to know that the sun could kill us and may kill us and that you've actually seen this event. Now, most people poo-pooed it when you first said it, but you talked about a shot across the bow. Well, is there any question at all? I don't think so. You could call this a shot across the bow and you'd be technically correct. I mean, that's what it was. It was a shot. So now everybody's going to want to know, me included, Ed, now that the shot across the bow has occurred, can you use that as a marker to see how far the so-called kill shot is away?
The answer is no to that question. My team and I have derived the answer to the question pretty much, but not. It's another question. Yes, we know what to look for now, but it took a lot of work, and that's why I'm on the show tonight. I want to tell your listeners what this harbinger is. When you see this, duck and cover, and I'll get into the details later. Do you remember years ago when I said the jet stream will drop down to the deck?
And it did, yeah.
Okay, and did you remember after, about a year later, I said the mother of all tornadoes,
yes,
is going to happen, and a week later an F5 pops up, which is unprecedented.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and then the shot across the bow, in October of last year, I said the sun is about to go on a rampage, and then November 4th, that was the X-45. Okay?
Yeah, there's no argument about any of this. This really is all true, and I'm glad you're saying it, Ed, because when you come on, I inevitably get a lot of emails and the angry people who, well, I've been keeping track, and Ed missed this and this and this and this. You have missed some.
The big ones are the easiest ones, Art. They're so easy because unconscious as your best friend is going to look right at that and say, you need to know this.
But you've also hit a lot. I mean, you don't predict some of these things. They're not even likely. It's not like calling a 50-50 shot. You're saying, look, the sun is going to fire this gigantic shot across the bow. Well, that's not an easily predictable thing. And boom, there it is. So, the audience can judge for themselves. You've hit a lot. You've missed some. But in my estimation, these things are one in a million. Shot across the bow, one in a million.
Well, they're unprecedented, aren't they? What we're going to see are things that are unprecedented.
Exactly.
Very much like your book, The Coming Global Superstorm.
Yes.
There's no precedent in history for what's coming. I'll talk more about that.
I don't think there's any precedent in history for what's going on right now, Ed.
One more thing. Now, this is not a geophysical event, but I've been saying it for 7 years. The next use of on the battlefield of a nuclear weapon will be on the Korean Peninsula.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that, I'm not saying a nuclear slugfest. I'm saying that the North Koreans have emplaced a nuclear weapon and will detonate it when hostilities start on the ground. And that short war will end very, very quickly without a slugfest. Okay? But that event is going to be eclipsed by this grand catastrophe that I talked about that I've been trying to get my teeth into for a long, long time, even before I did your show.
All right, stop. Before we get to that, let's stick with Korea for just a moment, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
If the North Koreans were to detonate a nuclear weapon in South Korea...
I'm saying, no, North, on the North Korean Peninsula.
On the North Korean... On North Korea's territory?
Yes, yes. The thing is in place. Once ground hostilities start, nothing that moves in North Korea is going to everything that moves, every moving target indicator is going to be shot up by the United States. So they can't afford to take the family jewels and put it on a truck or a missile or anything else like that. They're going to lose it. And so what they've done is taken at least one weapon and emplaced it. Think of a mine, a nuclear mine. They've emplaced it on the North Korean Peninsula, not far north of the DMZ, so that if we attack or counterattack, once, let's say, the 2nd Infantry Division is in position, that weapon will be detonated right there.
Well,
like a mine.
Well, here's what I think, Ed. It seems to me that if North Korea used a nuclear weapon against our troops or our country, they threatened to let one fly into California or whatever, we would obliterate that nation.
No, we wouldn't, Art.
I think we would, Ed. Why would we not obliterate?
Too many civilians, too many innocent people. Most of the combatants... The combatants, we all have no problem obliterating. That's what they sign up to do, become obliterated and obliterate in turn. But the world is going to stop this war really quickly. When we escalate to a nuclear war, the pressure from the rest of the world to stop this thing now will be so great. It will stop. We might get one in, Art, and the North Koreans might get one more in. And yes, there'll be a lot of devastation. But that cloud is going to drift over to China. Well, I mean, the peninsula is connected to
right,
China.
Of course, yes.
There will be so much pressure to stop it, it will stop immediately. Yes, a lot of loss of life.
Recently, I put a link up on the website. I don't know if you happen to catch it. It was a tour through Chernobyl by this young lady.
It was great.
You saw it. Oh, good.
It was incredible.
It was incredible. And... to imagine somebody intentionally letting off, it's just unthinkable, and yet...
You're dealing with a madman in an insane environment. So.
Yes, they're crazy, aren't they?
In their own way.
As a matter of fact,
they're afraid.
That's a good target for you, Ed. We keep saying that the North Koreans are crazy. Is it possible for you to take on as a remote viewing task, finding out if, and I don't know how you would do this with remote viewing, if the top leadership of North Korea really is suicidally crazy.
Well, in terms of military intelligence, what I would be looking at would be intent.
Intent
is always very, very valuable.
Yes.
As a tool. So I wouldn't be necessarily, I wouldn't care whether someone's crazy or not. I would want to see what the intent is.
Okay, so you can look at intent.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's, and how do you, I mean, that's reading a mind, right?
Correct. Correct, it is. Yeah.
So how do you do that with remote viewing? I mean, normally you sit at a desk and you draw an object of your attention or something. How do you convey intent?
There are a number of different ways that we could talk. For instance, I could use, if I used you as a target, which I would never do for ethical reasons, it would be Art Bell, and then I would qualify that with deep mind, and then I would qualify that with a time qualifier, present time. And I would go into your deep mind, present time, and then I could use any variations on that theme. Each one of those remote viewing sessions would take at least an hour. So I could look at what's uppermost in your mind at this moment.
Really?
I could look at things that are...
Here's what I'm trying to understand, Ed. Mm-hmm. How would a thought, which would... You'd be looking for an intent on my part. How would that manifest itself? I mean, normally you're drawing an object... Or a bridge, or, you know, that's the typical remote viewing stuff when you want to prove remote viewing works. But when you're in somebody's head, that's a whole different...
No, actually, it's all the same. It's all information. Let's say that you hated someone, and that's uppermost in your mind, and you've told no one this.
Yes.
So what I would find when I would remote view you in this hypothetical situation would be after I gain access to you, which would take about 20 minutes, standard protocols. We teach this in the workshops. Then I would start sketching perhaps a rifle and crosshairs and a scope looking at a person. And that would be a sketch. I would describe the person, the rifle, and things like that. And then I would turn my attention to this tangential figure, this person, let's say, and find out who that is. And then I could go back into your head, allegorically speaking, and find out why you hated this person, those kinds of things, and put the whole picture together.
Well, that's fascinating.
But that does not mean, Art, that you would act on the information. I may be just wasting my time because yes, I find out that you hate this person, you'd like to shoot them, but you never will.
So
I've wasted my time.
Huh. So, a very strong emotion or feeling on my part might not translate to reality. And so,
correct,
you could come back with a report that the North Koreans hate our guts, that the North Koreans are... But what about this suicidal aspect? In other words, the only people crazy enough to start a nuclear war, since mutual assured destruction always and did work, except with people who are truly out of their minds and suicidal, you could determine, could you not, if the leadership there has suicidal tendencies?
I wouldn't. I want to look at the actual physical phenomena, the physicality, the real world, the material world aspect of this. And in this case, the event itself is a fait accompli. It's so big in terms of scale, but it's actually minor. I'll talk about that momentarily. It's actually small in terms of the solar kill shot.
Well, we've got to take things one thing at a time, and a nuclear detonation on the Korean Peninsula is not a small matter.
Art, how will it affect your life right there in Pahrump? I dare say that things aren't going to change much for you.
Hold tight, Ed. We're at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
And this is seriously disturbing stuff. So be warned, if you're easily disturbed, and a lot of people are out there, you turn this off. I mean that. This is really disturbing stuff, and you've got to, I don't know, you've got to take it or leave it or digest it, or maybe it'll make you think, which is good, but whatever. It's pretty disturbing, so be warned. Speaking of seriously disturbing, Ed, just not to sidetrack you, but Priscilla from Edmonton, Canada writes, hey, Art, please ask Ed about Aaron Donahue. I interviewed him, you know. She goes on, that guy was seriously disturbing.
Aaron was a former student of mine, is a former student of mine, and he essentially made some decisions that and some choices that I could not support and sustain. So I divorced myself of him.
Hmm. He's very interesting, very disturbing, as she said, very disturbing. And actually, he spoke highly of you, Ed.
No, I'm aware of that. I'm just saying he's made some choices that I just can't.
He's aware of that. He's over there on the kind of the dark side. I mean, most people would say you're kind of on the dark side, Ed. But I mean, we
all have a dark and a light side.
But
we have that.
Somebody to be on the other side of you, that's a long way out there.
Mm-hmm. On the edge.
Yes, on the edge. Anyway. I kind of want to understand this. So you can read minds. You can read a mind. You could determine the intent of the North Korean leader, though that wouldn't necessarily mean he'd follow through.
Correct. We'd rather look ahead at the physical phenomena or the physicality of events or the existence now of weapons, hidden or otherwise, those kinds of things, real-world stuff, rather than simply ideas which may be floating around in the person's head may or may not be acted upon.
When you see a nuclear device going off on the Korean Peninsula, how does that register with you in remote viewing?
It's sort of like a fleeting image in the mind's eye, a dim, blurry, fleeting image. We know as professional remote viewers that any real a visual image that you have in your mind's eye that's static and clear is always imagination. So that's taught on the basics, day one, hour one in the workshops, when we teach. So it pops up as a fleeting, blurry image, and we have to sketch that and describe it. Everything that comes into conscious awareness about the event has to get down on paper as a sketch or as a word idea.
Yeah. You were saying that a nuclear weapon going off on the peninsula would not affect me here in Pahrump. Maybe not. Let's see, would it?
I challenge you to tell me how that would really affect you other than your ideas.
I don't...
But the kill shot would. That's my point.
Yes.
These are the things that I'm talking about on your show because it's a great venue. These global catastrophes, these global superstorms, these global kill shots that affect the entire globe, all life on Earth, not simply a region, a food supply, a military unit, a country, not just a big earthquake or a war. All those things are, many things, or those are problematic. They can be avoided by an individual.
Mm-hmm.
They're regional and fairly short-lived in historic terms, and they're subject to human control. Or in the case of war, subhuman control.
Is this kill shot going to occur in our lifetimes?
Yes.
That was a yes.
That was a yes.
The best you can do, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 10 years, 20 years, what? Just your best shot. I know.
I'm going to give you my best shot.
I appreciate it, and I know it's not easy. Timelines are set and missed and so forth.
No, but we narrowed it down. That was, in fact, I don't have to do too much more of this geophysical prediction stuff because we worked so hard to nail something. What we wanted to see was, instead of the event out on the horizon, which is so complex, it deals with the sun, and it, remember I used to call this a discontinuity in humankind's
trajectory? Yes, all right, let me remind the audience. There was a time when Ed had been telling me that there was a time past which he really couldn't see or could not remote view, which he chose to call the discontinuity. I call it just a big old brick wall out there. It's kind of like you can't tell what's coming. Well, describe it. I mean, those are my words. Was it like a brick wall or what?
It was like the great nothing. It's so much stuff happening on Earth at once, a confluence of events, huge events,
mm-hmm.
that you could think of it as just a big cloud, dark, thick, black cloud.
Hmm.
So much, so many things that one mind, a professional remote viewer, turns one's mind towards that.
Mm-hmm.
It's you can't sort and sift through what's happening.
Now, when you began looking at different things with remote viewing, did you continually, as you looked out in years, keep running into this, what you call discontinuity?
No, because I turned my attention mostly to things that I could actually act on, you know, were problems to
right.
be solved, or those kinds of things.
Right, but I would imagine no matter the subject, when you got out that far, if it required you to go out that far, you would run into it, right?
Yes, and not only are we running into it now, but what the harbinger that I'm going to tell you and your audience about this evening on Easter's Eve, this harbinger will have already popped up in people's dreams. Many of your listeners will have seen this in dreams.
In dreams, really.
As a professional, I don't have any monopoly on the truth. I just have a monopoly on accuracy. So the truth trickles down. It's like an over-the-horizon radar. Mine looks out and says, uh-oh, you need to know about this. The problem is that our egoic mind and our analytical mind and our conditioning muck up the real pristine information. Professionals don't have to worry about that.
That was muck with an M, in case, you know, Howard's unfans are listening.
Oh.
So let's have it then. What do we look
for? The coming global superstorms, when did you think that would happen, Art, when you wrote the book? Did you have any idea?
No, Ed, I just see it on the way. I saw it on the way then. Actually, you know, I saw it on the way back when I wrote something called The Quickening, and I just sharpened the focus with Global Superstorm. But no, timeline-wise, no. This year?
This year. Yeah, remember the F5 tornado that I saw coming?
Yes.
Watch what happens this year. So the superstorms that you were perceiving are going to begin this year, 2004. Those are the biggest things this year. Now, that's a global superstorm, just as you perceived it. It isn't just Ohio, which is going to get hit with one.
We're actually, as you and I speak right now, if you look across fully one half of the United States at the U.S.-Mexican border and above and below, I talked to a man in the first hour, Ed, who had lost power, was sitting there in the candlelight, calling me because of the violent storms, tornadoes, he said, on the radar all around him. Really, really bad weather all across. Violent.
Yeah. The tornadoes are going to be huge, and they're going to chew up the land. Not just America, but America's going to get hit really hard. Ohio's going to get one. And anyway, that's this year. That starts this year. Okay? And that's sort of the beginning of things. But as far as this global kill shot is concerned, where the sun actually starts putting out, like a scattergun effect, these very large solar flares.
Yes.
I say kill shot, but it's actually a series of very large solar flares.
Yes.
That are going to hit the Earth. You'll see the sun start to get pockmarked, like it has the measles with sunspots.
Now, you know, you're predicting this, Ed, at a time when the sunspot cycle is ebbing.
Well, it was ebbing when the X-45 popped also.
You're totally correct. Totally yeah. correct. The scientists went, what the hell's this?
Yeah.
At this point in the cycle. But now we're down a little further down line, and, you know, it's for a few years now, we're going to continue to be on the lower side of this sun cycle, and you're saying it's going to go berserk.
The sun is the end of a very long cycle. The epiphenomena that you see, these 11-year cycles, 21-year cycles, those are just small little epiphenomena in a very large cycle, which is probably about 11,500 to 12,000 years.
Uh-huh.
And we just happen to be alive at the tail end of one of those. Now, here's what, this is important, and before everybody goes to bed, listen to this. When you see a space shuttle, one of our space shuttles, being forced to come down and land because of a meteor shower,
mm-hmm.
that is the beginning of the end. That's the harbinger. Immediately after that will begin some drastic geophysical changes in the Earth, eventually resulting in a wobble and possibly an entire pole shift.
God.
The wobble will cause waves as high as 2,000 feet.
Oh.
Now, the space shuttles are grounded until 2005. So we're not going to see this until at least 2005. But that's what to look for. When a shuttle is forced down because of a meteor shower, beginning in 2005, and we're going to have a tremendous number of earthquakes, very serious earthquakes, worldwide, followed by, for some reason or another, intense meteor showers. Now, I don't understand why, but I'm just...
Too bad I was about to ask you the relationship, but you obviously don't know.
No, I'm a trained observer, and that's what I'm observing as a remote viewer, is, and not just me, my entire team. These meteor showers, very intense meteor showers, where the meteors are not, it isn't just the Leonids in a nice display. Mm-hmm. These things are coming down to the deck and hitting, impacting Earth. But when you see that one event, when there is a space shuttle mission up and it has to come down, and aborted
because of it.
That's right. Then you have to dig in. There's no more time left. There's no more time for predictions. There's no more time for anything. That's it.
All right. Let's talk for a second about the kill shot itself. Can you give me the dimensions of it? I mean, there will be some who will live through this, Ed, or will no one live through it?
No, we're looking at a couple of billion people. They're going to get crisped, and not crisped necessarily, but die of dehydration. What's going to happen is there is this passing space body. It does look like the idea of Planet X or Nibiru. I don't know. I don't understand the geophysics, but it passes by at the same time the sun erupts. So I'm assuming there's some type of a linkage or a flux there.
Could be.
Okay. That when that happens shortly after this space shuttle mission is aborted, what happens is these solar flares are hitting the Earth, and they're coming through when the shields are down, our electromagnetic shields are down. They're causing a lot of heat, the atmosphere to heat up. So when, it's not like we're getting fried by X-rays. What's happening is the Earth is heating up. The winds are picking up to very high speeds,
mm-hmm.
and most of the deaths will occur from people dehydrating, being in winds that are 300 miles an hour, and then finally when the Earth starts to wobble, and I don't know how long this is going to take, but the Earth will begin to wobble, and my guess is that it's not a direct effect of this passing space body gravitationally, but it's because of the rapid melting of ice.
Which is going on.
But this is really rapid now. And then the Earth starts to wobble.
The wobble is
what causes the massive waves, the ocean waves.
Well, whether you believe it's man's hand or nature's hand, doesn't matter. There was a story the other day suggesting global warming has now begun to feed upon itself, which means that it's going to worsen at a far more rapid pace than previously considered. At least that's one great theory, that it's begun to feed on itself. Those are the kinds of stories I'm seeing right
well,
now.
Well, the heat engine is, I mean, the sun is our engine, our star. That's our engine.
Yes.
And the heating is the primary source, and not the ocean currents and the Humboldt currents. The heating of the atmosphere is the primary engine that drives these huge tornadoes. Now, the one I looked at the other day as a remote viewer, it was so huge. It was gargantuan, and it was so destructive, and we're going to see a lot of those. So I would encourage people, you know, pull out their copies of the coming global superstorm and thumb through them again.
All right, well, you mentioned the shuttle occurrence, and that can't happen for at least a while yet. Is there any measurement between that time and the other one is close into it? That close or how close?
That particular event is the nearest recognizable preceding event to the first solar flare.
But there's no real way to measure that, is there?
No, there isn't. We know that in 2005 there's a lot of earthquakes, so you know, that may be one thing, and the year after that it looks real dark and a lot of meteors, but it's things get fuzzy right there, and I think it's because we're running up against this wall. There is another thing in terms of survival.
Yes.
I wanted to talk about that.
Good.
I mean, this is all natural cycles. I'm not judging this thing. Everything has an end, right? People,
sure.
Relationships, systems, and
yes.
Nations, and
yes.
Empires.
Yep.
As a beginning and an end. So, I mean, except for our souls, which leave and go somewhere else. So this is a natural cycle. But in terms of survival, we've talked about this before, and now it's going to become more important to take notes.
Feels more important to me.
Yeah. You need below ground protection at some juncture.
These are the things you've always said, too. I mean, there's nothing different here. You've always said underground.
Yeah, there's a couple more things
sure.
I want to add to this list.
Underground.
Okay, water. You have to have a supply of fresh water. It's imperative.
Mm.
Food is, food is a given. The places that you need to be, hopefully, I mean, we don't know in terms of this wobble what kind of wave action we're looking at on Earth. It's just too complex. But to be on the safe, if one wanted to be on the safe side, you would either have to be either far inland or very high or both. They're 3,000 feet above sea level, or very far inland, for instance.
Mm.
Okay? Another very interesting thing, if you own a large sailboat,
yes.
That's okay, too. Because...
I shouldn't laugh.
No, really, it's a strange thing. But large sailboats, you know, with very heavy keels,
yes.
If they flip over, they pop, they right themselves, and a regular boat doesn't.
Huh.
So that's good. But the damaging thing, even after the Earth settles back down and reestablishes an equilibrium with a new pole star, actually I did a video on this where I detail it. It's called the Kill Shot, and it's a CD that we put out. You don't need to get that CD if you're listening to this show.
It is a CD called the Kill Shot.
Yeah, where I detail
no
this.
Kidding. When did you put all this together?
In detail, because it gets too complex.
When did you put the CD together?
Doing it now. It's actually being filmed now.
Well, I'll be darned.
Yeah, but your listeners don't need that CD. It's for other than Art Bell listeners who that's what it's for. Because I cover most of all I do on the CD is I show you with models and other things where the new pole stars may be, that kind of stuff. Point is. Once the Earth reestablishes equilibrium, axis pointing somewhere else now, all right, that's still not good enough. You're still in trouble because there's going to be so many broken nuclear reactors, radiation clouds will be everywhere.
Oh, good.
Breeder reactors will be broken. Nobody's going to be tending them. So that's a big problem.
Okay, Ed, hold on. Well, and that, folks, was the good news. We're going to get to the rough stuff here shortly. God, I'm of course kidding. That was awful. Absolutely awful. My guest is Major Ed Dames, and the worry of it all is that, yes, for what misses he has had, he's had an awful lot of really big hits, in my estimation. The biggest recent one being the Shot Across the Bow.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
In any given show one ever does with Ed Dames, there is always an appropriate place to play this particular piece of bumper music. In fact, you could use it probably in two or three places. Major Ed Dames is my guest. Warned, be warned, this is difficult, disturbing material. Cutting right to the heart of the matter, we're talking about a kill shot from the sun, which actually is a series of shots from the sun, perhaps much like the one in November, only earthbound, the result of which would be any number of things, including a couple of billion dead on Earth, the beginning of a wobble of the planet itself, 300-mile-per-hour winds, I mean, just all... So I'm getting a million computer questions, some of them very relevant, most people wanting to know about their area, but, you know, some interesting questions like, hey, Ed, what about the U.S. sub-fleet, you know, the sea boomers and fast attackers and all that sort of thing that we've got prowling the seas? What happens to those doing, you know, with 2,000-foot-high waves?
Well, they've got reactors in them, right? So
that's
we're still
right.
Looking at reactors that aren't going to work anymore. They're going to end up, many of the coastal reactors, whether it's the Manju breeder reactor in Japan or others, are going to end up the same depth undersea that city off the coast of Cuba is, that National Geographic is so interested in, 2,200 feet under water. But that's still radiation. A lot of the clouds, though, will be in the air. I have to clarify one thing. It isn't the solar, the kill shots themselves that kill, Art. It isn't the direct rays. That only shuts down, that takes out all our circuitry, our satellite circuitry, those kinds of things.
Yes, it would do that.
It's one after another in conjunction with this passing space body. Those two things together, that synergistic effect of those two things together, the passing space body could trigger the solar flares. I don't know. But they happen together. That's one of the reasons it took remote viewers so long to unravel what's going on there. We could not separate one from another.
Well, when we have a close cometary, when comets pass close to the sun or even hit the sun, it does seem to produce a disturbance on the sun. There's been some correlation of that. And what you're seeing, would you dub it Planet X?
I would. I absolutely would.
You absolutely would, really?
Yes.
You know, Ed, I've got to tell you, you know, there are people like Nancy, what's her name, and so forth, who say Planet X is going to get us, and they've laid down some days and deadlines and times when it was going to happen, and it didn't happen. And then there's others, for example, on the net, that from time to time post pictures of, you know, things they claim they see out there right now, planets, bodies, that kind of thing. I've kind of thought it was baloney, at least the pictures I've been seeing, trying to show something incoming right now. To me, it looks like a lens flare or any number of other things, but it definitely doesn't look like. Anyway, so what is all that baloney? Is this thing still way out there? Is it visible now? What's the deal?
Art, I don't know. All I know, it's not a comet. It does not. It's planet size, perhaps as large as Pluto or Charon, you know, or Charon. It's planet size. It passes real close to the Earth, and as it comes around the sun, it passes us again. And it looks like the Sitchin idea, Earth and upheaval, those kinds of books. It looks like there's something there, that this thing comes in the solar system like a bat out of hell, swings by the inner orbits and back out again. It leaves. But when it does, whatever orbital frequency it has, however many years, some people are suggesting every 3,600 years, some of those passes are pretty darn close.
And you believe that its passage is connected with the sun disturbances that you see?
That's my best guess, because they're so close together. I don't see how. I mean, I'm postulating, Art, but they're so close together. They're concomitant. They're coincidental. It looks like one is triggering the other electromagnetically.
Would we not be aware of something the size of a planet on a trajectory that would bring it close to Earth far, far ahead of time? I mean, how much warning there would we have, do you suppose?
Probably 3 months.
3 months.
Yeah. That would be my guess, 3 months.
That would also be a
very sharp, tight trajectory, and it's moving fast.
That's going to be a very interesting 3 months in human history, isn't it?
There'll be some hand-wringing on the part of astrophysicists, I think. There might be some sleepless nights on the part of leaders worldwide.
Well, that seems to me that's putting it mildly. I mean, the end of the world people would be hot at it, wouldn't they, the moment they knew?
The end of the world people are hot at it every time they get an opportunity. All I'm saying, as a professional remote viewer, this is the end of life on Earth as we know it.
Yeah, I'm getting that message, I guess.
It's like the bridge is out ahead type of thing. You're on the freeway and get a big sign, bridge out ahead.
That's it.
That's all she wrote.
Well, that's not quite all she wrote, Ed. If 2 billion people die, then by present estimates, that would be 4 billion that might live. That's still human beings somehow going forward, although I suppose I could ask why, and would those people wish they were dead, as in the old scenario of, you know, better to die than to live with what the world would be?
I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for character development in this Mad Max post-cataclysm world. A lot more. There may be another 2 billion that succumb to the after effects.
You mean human being against human being?
Yeah, and you know, the resources are going to be pretty tough to come by. And there, you know, we don't know what areas of the Earth will really be affected.
Well, darn, that's, you know,
I think your transmitter will still be up.
It's always on the tip of my tongue, Ed, about where, you know, it might be worse, where it might be better, whether where I live, for example, would be safe. Everybody wants to know that. I'm getting a million messages. You know, Santa Fe, is it going to be all right? Tucson, will it be all right? Questions and questions and questions.
The only places that I know for sure that we have actually looked at, I mentioned before on your show, or, you know, to the west of Glacier National Park, some areas in the eastern part of British Columbia. It looks like Switzerland and Liechtenstein are survivable, but learn remote viewing.
Well, you have said now a number of times that my transmitter, as in shortwave, might be operating. That would indicate that in some way we remain physically intact here.
Yeah, I think you will. HF will be up. Worldwide. Satellites will be gone. There is one other thing to worry about too.
BPL.
I'm sorry.
Couldn't resist. I mean, once the satellites are out, there is this thing proposed called broadband over power lines, and they're going to screw up shortwave with it big time. That's another whole story, so I was just sort of tossing that in.
No, I mean, this stuff will all come back eventually, but when, you know, we're going to have to rebuild, and I have a sneaking suspicion that this is not the first time this has happened on terra firma. It's just, it's very, very suspicious. But the nations that will really be eminently survivable will be the ones that do not count on high technology and just have guns. You know, so China is really, really poised, you know, even now as our factory to become the top of the heap.
Yeah, if you go back to the Stone Age, then the people with the stones are the immediate survivors, right?
Yeah, same old, status quo pro ante. I mean, what's changed?
And we now depend on computers and satellites, and these things are now, well, we're utterly dependent on them, our economy, our government, the information flow. We are completely dependent upon these things, and they would be first to go, wouldn't they? Satellites.
Oh yeah, the satellites will come down with the solar flares.
Yeah,
they will come right down. I'm not talking about single event latch-ups and things like that. I'm talking about burnout, and power grids will go immediately to X45 pointed at Earth. Will take out all the power grids that it hits. All of the North American power grids would have gone down.
That's clearly what the scientists would seem to be indicating in the story, you know, that if something of that magnitude had hit us, that would be the result.
Yeah, and that would take, you'd lose a lot of satellites. It takes time to get those back up if you want to do it. It takes time to get power back up.
Yeah, so this isn't science fiction, folks. I mean, we had this magnitude of flare. The only reason it didn't happen is because it was pointed away from Earth. If it had been pointed at Earth, what Ed says is what would have occurred, and it could have. It's like playing Russian roulette, a little bit like that. And if the gun barrel had been pointed at Earth, that would have been it. So that was a shot across bow. And you're saying that magnitude or greater is going to occur, bang, 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 in sequence, depressing the Earth's magnetic field more with each hit.
That in conjunction with this passing space body, let's call it planet X for lack of hypothetically.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, not hypothetically. It looks like it is planet X. The two working to get those two effects seem to be synergistic. One triggers the other. And that is what produces this, the rapid melting of polar ice caps. The wobble of the Earth, and finally these very large waves.
Okay, you've mentioned having to live underground for years now, Ed. You've mentioned chlorella as something that would be a long-term way to stay alive, a substance. You still stick by all of that? I mean, when this begins, that will be the way to survive?
Well, on the underground part is because of the high winds, Art. That doesn't mean that it's a permanent position, but the winds will be so high.
For how long?
A few weeks. I've talked to NOAA folks, and they've done some back-of-the-envelope calculations, and they say, well, we're looking at massive belts, big belts across places on the globe where winds will be sustained at 250, 300 miles an hour for a couple of weeks.
Yes, how did you approach NOAA with this? What did you say? Did you say, in the event of a wobble of the Earth or a magnetic pole reversal? I mean, what were you putting to them?
This was years ago when I was a spy master.
Yes.
I had some scientists I was working with, and I approached Noah, this one of the scientists who was helping me out. Obviously, I can't mention any names. And I said, look, this is unit. He was aware of the remote viewing unit, the size spy unit, the military size spy unit. I said,
right.
We're looking at a pole shift of approximately 12 degrees. We actually did some remote viewing. 12-degree pole shift. If the Earth suddenly shifted 12 degrees, what would be the effects on wind and water? And that's how those calculations came about.
Now,
winds would pick up after about 2 days.
And let me try and be straight about this, okay? I mean, our pole now wanders a few degrees at least every now and then, as presently on the magnetic North Pole is on its way toward Alaska, I believe. It's migrating in Russia. Russia. It'll end up in Russia or something like that. It's wandering now. So what are you talking about? 12 degrees? You're talking about
Earth itself. Yeah, I'm talking about the Earth's axis.
Oh.
Not a precession that's 50, 100,000 years. Not that one.
So you're talking about a 12-degree wobble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really bad.
Right. I actually demonstrate this in the kill shot CD with a gyroscope, you know.
Gotcha. All right. So a 12-degree wobble, and that's what you asked Noah about. What would the effects be in this? And they came back to you with this 250-mile-an-hour, 300-mile thing?
No, it was actually because of the coefficient of friction between the Earth's mantle and the land and the air, so it's so loose, it's so light. It'll take about a couple of days for all of the energy to be transmitted into the atmosphere. That's when the winds will begin to pick up. So after several days, they'll begin to pick up to 200 miles an hour and then 300 miles an hour, not all over the globe, but in belts. And that will be sustained for several days before it starts to die back down. So I'm talking about being in a whole protected area like a subway or a basement for up to 2 weeks.
That's quite a while. Now, let me note for the audience that what Ed is saying now has real – it really resonates for me when I recall what Gordon Michael Scallion said. And Gordon Michael, for years, another guy that I'm pretty close to and have a lot of respect for, though he saw it in a different way, Ed, he too said the Earth was going to wobble, and he referred to the fluid and the dynamics of the way it works inside the Earth, and he saw all of that unbalancing and sort of causing a wobble of the Earth. And it's pretty close to what you're saying. I guess in a different, you're imagining different scenarios that will begin this process, but it's exactly otherwise the same thing that Gordon Michael Scallion said.
Well, I don't understand the geophysics, and I'm not certain about the dynamics, but I am telling you right now, after that particular event where space shuttle was forced down because of a meteor shower.
Yes.
Very, very soon, I'm not talking years, but very soon afterwards, months perhaps, will these events begin to transpire. I stand by that. Took a lot of work to establish that. Took a whole lot of work.
How much work? How long have you been working on this?
I mean, if you think about periodically over the years, but in the last year, a whole lot. A whole lot with a whole lot of people, a lot of viewers.
Well, I certainly recall when you began talking about the discontinuity. And you've just sort of recently made it add up to this. When I say recently, it seems to me I heard hints of this maybe in the last two shows we did, Ed.
Well, what we said was that I was attempting to establish with my team to bracket this very large event.
Yes.
Bracketed.
Yes.
The way that specifically what I meant was to establish a recognizable event that immediately precedes this discontinuity. And that's what we had to work on. Turned out that wasn't that difficult.
I can't even imagine what it would be like if the the Earth's people had 3 months' notice of something that was going to come that close to Earth. I mean, very rapidly, when they saw its size, they would understand, our scientists would certainly understand, the effect that it would have on Earth, or likely would have on Earth, and it would be, you know, it'd...
I don't think that it would be that. Remember, we're talking about unprecedented events here, Art, that have never before transpired in human history or in physics. So they would not be able to do, I mean, calculations are one thing, but they'd be rough. First of all, nothing like that has ever had to happen. The idea of a planetary body passing near Earth, or any body that big. First, they'd have to look at the trajectory. They'd have to calculate the mass of the object.
All right, let me try this question. Remember I said people have been taking pictures and that sort of thing. Would there be any chance at all that people would be right now, at today, or yesterday, or last week, or last month, or last year, could have possibly optically observed this planet coming toward us? I mean, it wouldn't that be baloney? It'd be too far out still to be seen.
I don't know. I'd have to ask some of my astronomer friends, and I have some.
I mean, a planet is going to be something relatively dark, and it's not going to be seen until it gets very close. We have to look hard for our own planets right here in the system, right? So
yeah, I don't know what the albedo would be, and theoretically, it'd have to be, you know, something that would be close enough to the sun to reflect light. And if it's dark to begin with, you know, we might not see it until pretty close.
Hmm. 3 months. That would be a very interesting 3 months in human history. Or should I be saying that will be a very interesting 3 months in human history? I guess I should say will be, depending on how you feel about Ed Dames. Love him or hate him, he's quite the messenger, isn't he? From the high desert in the middle of the night, which is exactly where we do what we do. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Yeah, you've got to wonder, I certainly do, if you had information of the sort that Ed has, what kind of process would you go through before you decided that you were going to tell the world about it? I mean, basically, it scares the you-know-what out of everybody, so you'd have to think real hard before you release this information. I think we'll ask about that. I mean, even if our own government knew that there was an object out there headed to Earth that would cause, you know, potentially... Okay, fine, a wobble, mass death, billions of people dying, that sort of thing. I know this sounds like heresy to some people who believe that everybody should know everything, but at some point, really, there's an argument, a fair one, I think, that can be made for not telling when something like that was going to happen, because the obvious would occur. There would be looting. There would be the Mad Max scenario. There would be people dying who didn't need to die. Many of them, even billions of them perhaps, panicked over such an event. So even, I think, at our own government would take pause before making such a thing public. And you are making this public. And I wonder what kind of process you went through mentally before deciding to say something like this and really lay it out like this.
There was no process at all. It's just truth. Pure and simple.
Well, yes, but surely you must have had a little bit of pause before deciding to tell everybody about this.
No.
No.
No pause.
No pause.
No, I just
Why?
Put myself in their position. People, you know, I'm supported by thousands of people who take care of me as my doctors and truck drivers and all kinds of people. They do their job to support me and give me a high quality of life. I'm going to turn around and do the same for them. You know, this is what I do for a living. You know, I run an over the horizon radar station. My team and I look ahead through time.
Yes.
And we say, holy mackerel, look what's coming. So
at
that's
least.
My job.
Uh-huh.
Now you can learn how to do this.
Well, I know I can. You know what? I haven't yet, and you know why I haven't. Because I don't know if I want to know, Ed. I'm one of those people who may be blissfully, I mean, I listen to what you say tonight, and look, here's somebody who asks, hey, Art, ask him about the Great Lakes. Are they going to wave up like the oceans? What's going to happen to the Great Lakes?
Art, I have to bring something up, too. Then this is tangential to the conversation, but I think it's important.
Sure.
You don't have to be some people are really in touch with themselves. Let's say, for instance, that you're one of those. Now, I know, personally, that you could make a whole lot of money by having made some decisions. You could be living in Atlanta, be very unhappy, and make a lot of money.
Yeah, I know.
I know you've turned down positions.
Yeah, a lot of things.
You chose to be happy in a place that was peaceful, where the night sky is as black as an ink pot and
you're
beautiful.
You're correct. Yeah, you've got it. That's exactly correct, Ed.
Yeah. So people like you who really follow their hearts and, you know, are not chasing materialistic goals or are chasing something inside, you don't have to be remote viewers. You're already connected. So you're okay. That's one of the reasons you're going to be okay, because you didn't buy into the party line, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I do.
You didn't let those outside things push you, you know.
That's
followed
correct.
An internal compass.
Yes. Yeah, oh, that's true. I did. I do. That's what I do. But
so
whether or not you
ever heard me say these things before, or believed me, or heard Gordon Michael Scallion speak, whether or not it was true, you'd still probably be okay, because you followed that internal compass.
But how does that necessarily, with a global disaster of these proportions, save
because
me?
The people that don't follow their internal compass need some assistance. I was one of those for many years. So I know, you know, I can put myself back in time and say, gee, you know, how would I feel if someone knew this and didn't say anything to me?
Mm-hmm.
That's all. You know, do unto others type of arrangement.
You do understand why a lot of people hate you, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You understand that when you bring this kind of message,
I've seen it at the corporate level. When I worked for Fortune 500 companies, when that company wanted that new widget in their product line to be the one, and my team would come back and say, oh, no, the Japanese are going to develop this.
All right. Anyway, having said all this, the Great Lakes, I do want to get an answer for this fellow.
Don't know. We'd have to actually remote view it, Art. We'd have to actually, you know, remote view the Great Lakes in conjunction with this particular event and see how it stands.
Now, Steve in Jackson, California, asks perhaps the most poignant question of the morning so far. Steve wants to know if Walmarts will still be open. Sometimes you got to laugh, Ed.
You know, I'm saying that at least some of them will be. They're all over the place. They're like ants.
Paul in Los Angeles says, look, does Ed expect to survive on Maui?
I don't know where I'll be when the stuff hits the fan, actually. And the stuff hitting the fan will take you know, months to spread. It's a spread spectrum type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to answer the question. I'm going to take it as moment to moment.
All right. And here, actually, Lonnie in Mill Valley, California, has a good point. If we have that kind of notice that an event of that possible scale is going to occur, Ed, we would, in fact, have time to cool the reactors down, wouldn't we?
You know, that's a good point.
It is a good point. It
really
is a
good
point. No.
Except for one thing.
What?
I don't think that scientists, and I don't think that the leadership in most countries would suggest how bad this is going to be or even know how bad it's going to be, and so they would not give the order to cool the reactors down. That's a problem.
Patrick in Lakewood, California asks an obvious question. Art, I'm poor. I live in an apartment. He's in a city. How do I get underground? There aren't any underground structures here. Am I dead because I'm poor? What's the real answer to that, Ed? What is the real answer to that? I mean, are the poor going to, as they always seem to, disproportionately perish?
Not in America necessarily, but the poor in lesser developed countries are probably going to perish pretty fast because of infrastructure breakdown. Our infrastructure will come back up faster, and there'll be more of it left over. That's not true in other countries. You know, when it rains heavily in Tijuana, all those cardboard houses, you know, are gone.
Yes.
So people have no homes.
Yes.
That's what I mean by infrastructures.
Yes. Well, isn't it probable that those people are going to be the greatest victims?
I don't know. I think that anybody living in a city is going to be in big trouble. I'll tell you that. I mean, that goes without saying.
So then an obvious piece of advice, get out of the cities.
Get the hell out as soon as you smell something coming. Whenever you detect that something wicked this way comes, get out of the cities. Go anywhere, because anything's better than being in the cities.
See, Ed, I can't see it as distinctly and in the kind of detail you can. From my point of view, I smell it coming already, and I've smelled it coming for some time. But I can't nail the events down the way you seem to be able to do. I just know it's coming. I know. I can feel the changes underway now. I actually, whether it's the weather, social behavior, or the politics of the world, which are pretty, as usual, warlike, or whatever all, I can feel it coming, Ed. I've known for some time that it's coming, but I don't know the kind of details that you have. And going back to what you said earlier, I don't know if I want to know, Ed. I really don't. And that's why I haven't yet tried remote viewing.
It's not your job, Art. You have a job that's really important, as far as I'm concerned, and that you do what you do best, and I do what I do best. So it's different people have different jobs. Your job is not to know. Your job is to report and to be there to report.
So between now and when these events occur, your job remains what? To
I'm done with this. The monkey's off my back tonight. You know, I've told your listeners that I'm doing this Kill Shot DVD. If people want it, they can buy it. And I'm done. I'm going to go back to problem solving. I want to find a cure for multiple sclerosis. That's one of the things I'm doing. And now not having to look forward through time in these next couple of years.
Is that not a moot point? I mean, to find a cure for a...
No, I'm saying I want to do that. Now I have more time to do it because I don't have to look at this thing.
I'm understanding that. But with the knowledge that you have, doesn't it make multiple sclerosis, awful as it is, somewhat moot? And
no,
everything else somewhat moot?
That's not the way I see it.
Okay, so how do you, understanding this is going to happen to humanity, sort of say, okay, I'm done with it, that's what's going to happen, but I'm going to go back and work on multiple sclerosis.
Personally, I need a venue to help relieve suffering and pain, and that one, so many people have asked me, I'm just going to jump on it. That's all. And I want some chips when I check out, too. When I meet the old man, I want to say, hey.
Well, there's a good answer. I want some chips when I check out. That's a good answer, Ed. I understand that answer. That was a good answer to it. All right. We are going to open up the phone lines shortly, and you're just going to be peppered with these kinds of questions and probably some of the usual. People are looking. In fact, I've got a really cool picture of Mars up right now on my webcam that I'm awed by it, so I put it up there. What's the latest on Mars, Ed? They think they see signs of life, you know, this methane and all the rest of it. I guess you're following that?
I am to a certain degree, but it's basically we're still looking at the same situation. There's something under the planet, robotic in nature. There are machines underground on Mars, and we've talked about that a lot on the show.
We have. And the discovery of methane, of course, really suggests life at some level, either was or is on Mars.
Or another chemical process that we don't understand necessarily.
Perhaps. But they're really suggesting, you know, even NASA now is kind of leaning toward life, was or is. So
there was a civilization on Mars. I mean, yeah, the military remote viewers spent a lot of time training against that. Even before there was a remote viewing team, the military psychics were turned against Mars. And we did a lot of work describing the civilization there, just for fun, practice, training.
Did any of that information done sort of... It wasn't really tasked information officially. It was all done on the side, right?
It was done on the side, yes.
Were those reports, or were those turned into reports, Ed, that were ever passed officially up any channel at all?
Negative. We would have been shut down. I mentioned on your last show, everything that I had from the military team and from the CIA and NSA, people that worked for me, the reviewers that worked for me, and myself, I put them all into the Our Aliens Real tape, the videotape. By the way, I'd like to thank Lex Lomwood, your webmaster, for posting all those educational websites on tonight's show links.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he is.
So there's lots of good links for people to go read, huh?
Yeah, there are. You can either go to my central website, remoteviewing2004.com, anytime, or you can go to yours. Or you can dial a toll-free number and buy any of those things or sign up for my workshops.
Well, happy to give you plugs. The latest CD, when is this going to be? Is this now available?
The Kill Shot will
yes.
be available in a month, and that's a small, inexpensive CD. It just covers everything we covered tonight and with the actual remote viewing sessions and examples. And then the new streamlined remote viewing home study course, that's a four-pack CD. That'll be out in 2 months. And that's worthwhile for those of you who don't want to learn this in person at one of my workshops.
Want
an order line?
Go right ahead, Ed.
Okay. To sign up for a workshop, I teach these personally, or to order any of the educational products that I've created, is the order line is 1-866-607-8439. That's a toll free number.
Okay, I think I got it. That's 866-607-8439.
Correct.
Okay.
Or you can order online.
And so they can now begin to order the new CD tonight, or is
yes.
it good? Yes.
Yes, they can order all those products.
How much is the CD going to be?
CD, I think it's $19.95 for the Kill Shot CD. The Learn RV set is more, and the video is inexpensive for the Our Aliens Real video.
Mm-hmm.
The Kill Shot the CD is inexpensive.
By the way, on the Our Aliens Real question, through all of this disaster and stuff coming toward us, will there be any intervention? Can you even
no.
look at the...
No, there won't. But after the stuff, after things clear,
yes,
there will be another race here with us.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You mean as?
They will help us rebuild.
Oh, really?
Yes.
But only after?
Only after, I'm sorry to say.
Clearly, they would be aware of what's going to happen, yes?
Yes.
And could they intervene?
I don't know.
Because with that much power to
I don't know what you mean. I don't know what do you mean by power.
Well, I mean, they clearly have the power to go from point A to point B at greater than the speed of light, or
perhaps they could intervene, but maybe there's a grand plan here that we're not privy to.
Well, then that's more tantamount to an opportunistic invasion than anything else. I mean, if they're out there actually watching and have the power to intervene and don't, then that's an opportunistic invasion, isn't it?
Well, I would call it a violation of the Prime Directive rather than your appellation.
Well, so violation of the Prime Directive would be to help us or to avert this disaster in some way, huh?
Right.
Is that right?
Rather than to allow free will.
I mean, we're talking about
its course.
We're talking about Prime Directive like it's the law of the cosmos. It's something out of Star Trek. Now,
that's right. I'm being facetious.
But maybe there's a lot of potential truth in the Prime Directive. People know that as surely as they know right from wrong. In other words, not tampering with what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. But there will be. And I stand by this, and even the military team had this under our belts in terms of information. There is, in the out years, we're looking at a crisp earth, at a barren terrain in many places, stark environment, and then this other race lands. I use that term loosely. They all of a sudden, they're here, and they help us rebuild.
And you see them to be a benign or even, benign. You see them as benign?
They're pretty much our brothers. They look the same. They're a little bit different in terms of features. They look a little bit more sturdier or rugged than we would. That's the way I would describe them.
Huh.
Their features are a little bit more, chiseled. But for all intents and purposes, they look like us, Homo sapiens.
Fascinating.
And they may be related to
us. And then they are going to become a large percentage of the totality of our population. They're going to be that much among us, as it were?
I have no idea. I've never looked that far.
It's actually good to hear you occasionally say you have no idea. All right, hold on, Ed. When we get back, yes, we're going to go to the lines, and yes, I know you have a lot of questions. I'm Art Bell from the high desert, the middle of the night. This is Coast to Coast AM. Tonight, Major Ed Dames is here, and you've been warned.
Subscribe to the After Dark newsletter and reserve your free CD of Art Bell and the late Father Malachi Martin. 888-727-5505. Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Well, nobody ever said this show would carry the fare that most of them do out there, and we don't. My guest tonight is Major Ed Dames. The message has been a sobering one indeed. Alan from Saskatchewan says, why don't you ask your guest of how he thinks his views mesh with Bible prophecy concerning the Book of Revelation? Thanks, Alan. That's a good question, isn't it? I mean, a lot of what Ed says certainly is what kind of feels like it's biblical in proportion, certainly. So we will ask about that. Ed, it does seem biblical in proportion, and so it's a pretty reasonable question in a lot of ways, isn't it? How do you mesh these views, your views, your knowing what you know with what's in the Bible? Have you ever taken a look at that?
No, I have not, and I can't mesh them. So, I wouldn't know where to stick this one or these next global catastrophes in terms of Revelation. Where do they go? The tribulation, the third horseman of the apocalypse, where? I don't know. I just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of messy, that book. That book was, a lot of human minds were involved in that book. Lots of folks, lots of hands went on that book too.
Yes.
So that means lots of egos, lots of personal analysis. Whenever the mind of man gets involved in something, it's going to get obfuscated to a certain degree here. And what we're talking about is discipline, rigor, and mind control. That's what we're talking about here as much as possible. So I can't speak for all of the authors of the Bible.
Okay. Let's risk it, and go out there and see what's out there for you, Ed. First time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames and Art Bell. Hi.
Hey there, Art, and Ed, it's Eric calling out of KTSM 690 in El Paso.
Yes, sir.
Ed, earlier spoke about that people would start knowing that things are approaching by a dream.
That many people would begin to have the same dream. Wasn't that it, Ed?
Many people as large, very large, life-threatening events come up over the event horizon, where people's lives are in danger,
mm-hmm.
especially people who are gifted psychically with long psychic antennas, so to speak, too. They'll be the ones to first pick this up and start having dreams, and those dreams will be very, very similar one to another.
Do you actually understand what the content of the dreams would be? Well, a caller, you've obviously, or you wouldn't be saying this, you've probably had a dream, right?
I had a dream that I was very dazed and confused. The dream was somewhat not coherent to me. However, I do remember having been told that something was coming down and the space shuttle had to come down. Now, I don't know if it was the Soyuz capsule or the space rocket. So it was all over the news. I was informed to go to this giant hall where there was thousands and millions of people there gathering. And there was a child there looking at me, and he started going into a seizure, sort of. And he started yelling in foreign languages. I did not understand him, but however, there was someone next to me that did. And his message saying, I asked him, what was he saying? And he informed me, repent now, for the time is near.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, so a lot of people, Ed, are going to begin to get this message all at once, or this will be going on for some time, and will it be apocalyptic dreams or what?
All of the above. But they're basic, there'll be common elements. And here the common element will be the space shuttle having to come down. Watch that one. You'll see that a lot, that particular one. The rest, as we dream, it's like a snowball. It starts out pristine as a seed where your unconscious is trying to tell you something to keep you alive. It's your best friend. It's your complement.
Here, maybe you can help me out with this, Ed. I've had a lot of dreams in my time, and how would one ever separate the true prophetic dreams from, you know, I've had a lot of silly dreams, sexy dreams, dreams of all kinds of things, Ed. How does one separate?
Toss most of them except the ones that you really feel are important. You wake up and say, oh my goodness, you know, I've never had a dream like that. That's the one that where something was behind it. And as a remote viewer, if you learn the remote view, you can remote view the seed of that dream. What seeded that dream?
Uh-huh.
The seed is important. That's your unconscious trying to tell you something. Don't get on that plane tomorrow, or stop eating this, or you have pancreatic cancer. By the end of the dream, 2 hours later, all of the trash of the day and your fears and your desires, humans are driven by fear and desire, that all mucks it up, and then finally you end up on a battlefield somewhere where what started out to be your pancreatic cancer turns into be a battle, something like that. Well, a remote viewer can go right to the seat of the dream. If you tell me, I had this dream about this battle, I was right there, it was so clear, it was like vivid dreaming,
yes,
that kind of thing, I can take that dream as a professional and go right to the seat and see what happened and say, hey, this battle that you're having is a battle with a tumor or something like that.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Art.
Hi.
I had a question. Now, he was talking about Revelation, and the Bible code doesn't mention anything about this, but it says tribulation starts 2005. And then there's a possible chance for peace in 2005 with Arafat and Sharon and a possible nuclear holocaust in 2006. Now,
the Bible code says all of that, huh?
Yeah. And,
I'm not talking about possibilities.
Huh?
I'm not talking about possibilities.
Well, this is...
I'm talking about what I'm saying is an actuality. It's already happened, but it's in a different frame. It's out ahead.
Well, you were talking about tribulation. Now, if it starts 2005, there is supposed to be a severe earthquake, they said, after tribulation begins. And I know Jesus gave a message himself, and he said there was an asteroid out there with his hand on it, and we could not stop it.
I don't remember that one.
This came from the Holy Hill. And
I don't know what the Holy Hill is.
No,
I know what Jesus Christ is, but I don't know who the Holy Hill is.
Well, it's a place here in the United States. But anyway, the thing is, he came and
Wait, back up. What do you mean it's a place in the United States? You're comparing this place. I've heard of Jesus Christ. What's the Holy Hill?
The Holy Hill is a place in the United States where the people go, where Jesus appears.
How come I don't know about that?
I guess you just haven't heard about it.
All right. Well, yeah. Sometimes, Ed, there are factions who believe that Jesus and Mary do appear. Medjugorje, right?
Medjugorje, Fatima. I understand that.
So she's referring to something like that. I mean, some personal experience. Obviously, she... So, I mean, look.
No, I just wanted to make one point clear that the almost all of us, if not all of us, have heard of Jesus Christ. Not all of us have heard of the Holy Hill
no,
or Medjugorje.
Absolutely, of course, correct. But still, the whole concept that somewhere the Bible, what is written in the Bible, if it is truly prophetic and what you are saying, may mesh, or it might even be logical that they would mesh. I haven't done the study. I don't know, but it seems...
The problem that I have is that we can't pick out the real prophets in the Bible from the ones that were half on and half off. We don't know which
ones... That's kind of like
really
remote viewers, Ed.
You bet. It's exactly like that. That's what I'm saying. And so when you have remote viewer and then you have prophecy, then it's two orders of magnitude removed from what may be the actual. So it becomes really obfuscated then.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have chain of custody anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What Ed's saying is that what he's seeing is not a maybe. It's not a maybe anymore at all. I mean, the confidence level of what you've said tonight is how high, Ed?
The likelihood, as far as I, as a professional remote viewer and an analyst, that's all that I'm saying. From my point of view, from that point of view, the likelihood of what is going to happen described tonight is 100%. Otherwise, I wouldn't be describing it.
How many of you worked on this?
About 8 people in the last 6 months and about 20 in the last 8 years.
Can I ask another question? Of those 8 or of those 20, Ed? what kind of effect did it have on their lives?
Denial.
Denial?
Yeah.
Even among those who saw this, denial.
Mm-hmm. They're willing to go on just like it didn't happen, or they're willing to believe they love their job and they love remote viewing, and they stand by their work. You'll hear them talk about it in the media, on television and movies. But when they see this one thing, they have to be here underground and their family has to be here, they look at that and they turn away and they pretend that it's not there. They're very upset with it, and so they go on. It's not necessarily denial. It's the will not to believe.
Well, Ed, if the remote viewers who actually worked this problem with you are in denial with regard to its results, then what do you suppose the how do you suppose the general public is going to?
Not in terms of the results, Art. In terms of the acceptance.
Oh yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. But
they don't deny the result. They know the results are real because they trust the process so much. But they, you know. It's pretty understandable. I mean, even though I know it's coming, I'm going to want to be near my loved ones. I'd rather, you know, check out with them than save my own hide somewhere else. So that's sort of a fence-straddling position.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mr. Fence Straddler himself. Major
Good morning, Mr. Bell and Mr. Dames. This is Mitch from Liberty, New York.
Hello, Mitch.
Hello. I'm listening on 810 on my Sea Crane Sanjin.
Way to do a plug.
Okay. And I was remote viewing. I sent you an email. I saw the sun eject a plume at about 33 degrees as I was looking at it from the left. From the bottom of the sun, just out from the bottom of the sun, 33 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
The Earth swept through it, and we were peppered because the plume had dense parts and less dense. And we were peppered for quite a while. It looked like Asia and Europe and the Soviet Union got hit first, and we kind of spun into it. And I realized, because we were moving through the plume, that the thing was like peppering. And you were talking about the Bible. The Bible says that the earth will reel to and fro like a drunkard, and the earth will be moved exceedingly.
That sounds a lot like a wobble to me.
Yeah, and that also, you know, kind of tells me that way back when, even before Galileo and all this, somebody was saying the earth was a sphere. Because that terminology is usually, you know, for something that's round.
Yes. All right. Well, or acting perhaps like a sphere. Anyway, very interesting, Ed. Now, when he described what he remote viewed, he saw enough detail to see or recognize continents, his words, being peppered. You, on the other hand...
We can't do that as professional remote viewers. Yeah. We have to use a whole lot of different protocols in order to know where we're at on the Earth. So that's not remote viewing the way I know. That's more like being a psychic. Lots of psychics call themselves remote viewing because it's an avant-garde term.
That's true. The two, I suppose, are sort of interchangeable. Or people make them interchangeably, even though I know you would object mightily and list all the things that are different about remote viewing. It's still both are predictions of our future, and they sound very similar. His just more detailed. So there would be no way in remote viewing to see or recognize which continents catch the worst of it.
There would be, but we have an Earth whose topography is going to change and will be changing. And so catching the worst of it over what period of time? A month, a year?
Well, I don't know. I know this. If there were shots from the sun, Ed, you know, depending on the Earth's rotation and where these shots actually hit, yes, there would be areas that would be much harder hit than others, continents perhaps.
The reason I don't talk about it, and the reason I'm not saying anything, Art, is because I don't want to be responsible for somebody making a decision based upon that information and it being wrong, and me being responsible for the loss of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm not commenting on it. I've given you enough general information to know what to do or kind of where to go in a general sense. But anything other than that in terms of detail, I don't have any detail.
You're suggesting people are going to have to spend about 2 weeks underground surviving with water, food, and whatever else you need to keep a body and soul going for at least 2 weeks. Is that correct?
If you're not fried or drowned, yes.
If you're not fried or drowned. Otherwise, underground's place to be in 2 weeks is the probable amount of time you're going to have to be there?
Right, correct. Yeah, because the winds are just too high. And that doesn't include all of Earth. No, that includes some zones that we can't nail down.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Hi.
Mr. Dames. This is Michael. I'm calling from Coeur d'Alene at the moment.
Welcome.
And I wanted to lend a little astrophysical support to the event that Mr. Dames is describing.
Mm-hmm.
If you study the Milky Way galaxy, that is, you'd know that the sun travels along our spiral arm where we reside.
Yes.
In a spiral.
Mm-hmm.
It goes above and below the plane.
That's right.
Every 65 million years, we cross the plane. Now, there are several events happening at the same time, of course. There are other cyclic events that just so happen to be happening at the same time.
Anyway, your point being?
We entered the galactic plane beginning last year. We'll be moving through the galactic plane, and probably peak center will be 8 years from now. And in terms of the sun, the problems we're having now with the activity are being caused by the gravitational effects in the plane. Also, the objects that the two teams I know are working on now that we're watching approach, these large bodies are in the spiral arm. They're very large.
Okay, well, it does make sense that as we spiral with the sun, we do enter this area where there would be a greater danger, I suppose, of objects, as in planets or things or whatever, that could encounter Earth. I guess that is reasonable, Ed?
I think it's reasonable, but I mean, the odds of being alive at a point that's every 65 million years, I mean, that's a stretch. That's all I'm saying. I can see it's hard enough for me to accept being around at these 11,500, 12,000 years cycles. How many generations is that? 90 or something like that?
That's a lot.
Yeah. So that's why it's hard for me to, somebody as wild and crazy as I, to accept. But I don't know. I just can't comment on that.
International Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames and Art Bell. Hi, good morning. We only have a couple minutes here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll take my answer off the air.
All right.
I had a dream also, a little bit more rational. It was a Saturday morning in the dream, early, about 7:30. I was looking due east from Winnipeg.
Yes.
I believe it was a fall morning.
Yes.
I saw glimmering objects around the moon for about 30 seconds. Then I saw the moon break apart and reduce down to about half its volume.
Oh, brother.
The dream was so vivid, I actually caught myself dialing my sister's house to warn her. And I was actually dialing my real phone, and then I, you know, snapped out of it and said, whoa.
Gotcha. All right, very quickly, because we're about out of time. Ed, is that typical of the kind of dream we're going to increasingly get reported?
The kind of dream that you'll get reported will be of a cosmic situation where you have to look up. And, again, many people will be picking up on the idea of the space shuttle being forced down. And
right.
They'll translate that into a crash or
all
something
right.
like that.
Hold it right there.
It's been a too long time with no peace of mind. and I'm ready for the test.
Find out more about tonight's guest. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.
Tonight, this is Coast to Coast AM. Major Ed Dames is here.
Take a ride? To talk with Art Bell, call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Can you believe it? It actually does kind of fit, and I like it on top of that. How y'all doing? I'm Art Bell, middle of the night. Yeah, that's right. Not far from Area 51. And this is Coast to Coast AM. Ed Dames, we'll be right back. You know, I bet Ed is going to want to respond to this himself. Hey, Ed, Susan in Salt Lake City, Utah says, if the solar flare across the bow happened last November, well, then how come Ed is telling us now and not last November? Number one, Ed did tell us. Number two, Ed predicted that long before, not just in the previous month, but long time prior to that. In fact, there were a couple of extremely large solar flares, and I asked Ed on various shows, Ed, was that it? And you said no. Remember that, Ed?
I do.
Yeah. You a couple times you said, no, that wasn't it. It's coming. But anyway, so you want to respond to Susan here? I mean, I did, but why don't you? You did tell us, right?
I'm sure it's archived. In fact, the best place to listen to it is the October show when I said the sun's about to go on a rampage.
Yeah, it's a fact. I mean, if you doubt it, go back and listen. It's as simple as that. Go back and listen. First time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hello.
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 Hey, this is Jimmy in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hey, Jimmy.
Listen, I love your show. I want to say I'm a long-time listener. It's the first time I've been able to get through to talk to y'all.
Glad you made it.
Me too. When exactly is this event supposed to happen that he's predicted? Does he have a general idea? And I had a dream of an earthquake. I was driving along in my car, and an earthquake struck and threw my car up in the air. It was like me, my mother, and I think two of my sisters in the car, and we just got thrown up in the air, and then the car flipped over and started going tumbling to the ground. That's when I woke up.
How long ago did you have that dream?
About 2 months ago.
About 2 months ago.
Scared the crap out of me.
I'm sure.
2005, massive quakes worldwide, but the event, the real, the hallmark event is the one we've been talking about. When one of the space shuttle missions, STS whatever, and they're grounded until 2005 when it's forced down by a meteor shower, at that point is when all bets are off and allegorically the bridge is out. There's no more predictions that I have after that point. That's when everybody needs to do whatever you want to do. And it is not long after that event.
Gotcha. Wild card line, you're on the air with Major Ed Ames. Good morning.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hi. Ed, I had a quick question for you. A few minutes ago, you two were talking about what would happen to the poor people during the time of the tribulation and those terrible events.
Yes.
And it struck me to ask you, have you ever tried remote viewing the rapture, because maybe that's their only way of escape through faith? And one other comment I just wanted to throw in there, since you were talking about the dreams, mine I felt was more like a vision also 11 years ago, that I saw Jesus lift up the top of the Washington Monument, the triangular part, and place palm branches in it, and then close it. And I never knew what that meant, and all I heard was three words, please thy God. I've never been able to figure that out either.
All right. Obviously a very religious person, and I know that you understand the concept of the rapture, Ed.
Way it's popularized. Yes. I've attempted to tackle that. There's something there, but I don't know. It appears to be so esoteric and metaphysical that I can't get my teeth into it at all. So it's either beyond my ken, or it's a nonsense search term. But I think there's something there, but I just can't deal with it. I don't have the software, the wetware, to deal with that.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Yes, good morning, Art.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, I just have a couple of questions I want to run through real quickly for Ed. Ed, you've always been up front. The time frame, even for good remote viewers, that's always the hardest thing. But tonight, just to be clear, you're saying you've said 100% confidence that 2004, the strong storms start, in 2005, the strong earthquakes start. That's 100% confidence you have in the time frame.
That's not what I said. What I said was there's 100% likelihood, as far as I'm concerned, from my perspective as a professional, that very shortly after that aforementioned event, this discontinuity, this grand conflagration, this tribulation, this cleansing will start.
Yeah, it is very important that we nail this down. So you're really not nailing it down, are you? Just give us the outline.
The shuttles start flying again, theoretically, next year.
Right.
Early next year.
Right.
So all I'm saying is the closest I can get that I've been able to get so far, and I don't think I'm going to do any more work on this, Art. I really think I'm finished with this stuff, because I want to go back to problem solving. I am... And I think this is close enough for government work, that when you see that event, very, very soon after, will be the beginning of this kill shot sequence.
Well, that is very specific, at least as far as the shuttle coming down because of a meteor storm.
Mm-hmm.
That's very specific. All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Yes, morning, Art.
Hello.
Morning, Major Dames.
Morning.
This is Gary, listening to... 600 a.m. Kogo in San Diego. Thumb and four fingers out there.
Yes, sir.
Truck drivers know that term. I just wanted to ask you, make a comment here on the last caller about the rapture. I think what you're looking at is superluminals. But aside from your average cargo cults, there's a whole herd of Noahs out here among us. Let me preface that. Have you ever, or your teams ever remote viewed the individuals, groups, organizations that are working on building large ships to take some of us out of here?
No.
You haven't heard anything about that, Ed?
No.
Nobody working on ships to get us out of here?
No one that I know of. And I probably would not be interested in using my skills and my team to remote view that.
Mm-hmm. What about remote viewing what our government would do during a period of time like that? Would that be worth pursuing at all, or have you truly had it with this?
No, I wouldn't look at that either. The way I would handle it would be to look at the event and then turn my attention at once I lock on to the event or part of the event or the acme of the event, then to lock on to an aspect of our government, whether it be the president or Department of Defense, NORAD, whatever. But I wouldn't, that's something else I wouldn't spend any time on.
All right. International Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Hello, Art and Major Ed Dames.
Hi.
It's Brent calling from Winnipeg.
Yes, sir.
CJOB 680 on the dial here. Just a couple of comments, and I'll hang up and leave this to you. This Planet X or Nibiru or whatever is supposed to come by once every 3,600 or 3,700 years. It just seems to me that in biblical times, if there were previous civilizations.
Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Are you still there?
Am I still here?
Oh, good, you are.
Okay. It just seems to me that 2,000 years later, we're still talking about Jesus. Prior to that, 1,600 years or so, there may have been some previous civilization record of this planet coming through. I know the moon has a gravitational pull on the Earth with the tides and what have you. If this planet, which I've heard through your program, is about 3 to 5 times the size of Earth, comes by, would there not be a gravitational pull? If it came between the Earth and the Sun, would that not potentially draw that solar flare, potentially suck up molten from the volcanic surface of the Earth, causing the earthquakes, causing volcanic eruption?
Causing even a wobble of the entire Earth. I think that's what Ed's saying. Isn't it, Ed, that this planetary body comes so close as to perturb the present state of the Earth?
Either, number one, that yes, the gravitational effects start the wobble, or two, that the rapid, the coincident series of very large sun flares causes a heating in the Earth and a rapid melting of the polar ice cap and other ice, and that shift begins the wobble, that rapid melting.
And you know, short of the wobble, as for the rest of it, rapid global climate change is so much a part of our history. It's like scientists worldwide are suddenly waking up to this fact. We're hearing it all over the place, sudden climate change. Well, now all of a sudden, scientists are saying, well, yes, sure it could happen. It's happened lots of times before, but it's just sort of dawning on the world's people that, yeah, this kind of thing can occur.
We take a lot of things for granted. I mean, you know, we're only alive for a relatively short period of time, so we assume that it's the same old status quo pro ante. And that's why things look like precedent all the time, an X-45 solar flare, those kind of things.
Where well, you know, I suppose, Ed, that a person could try and take the attitude that being alive during a special time like this, catastrophic as it might be, would in some ways be an honor to live or attempt to live through such an event.
Or 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
That would have been an interesting time.
Oh, I'll say. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Yes. Ed, your bit wanting to cure multiple sclerosis is very commendable. However, there are many who keep stating repeatedly that there is a cure of getting rid of the mercury vapor in the body. It destroys the myelin sheath around the nerves. They short out and cause all kinds of neurological diseases, et cetera. You know, the presidential cover-ups, assassinations, the other things, UFOs, are not the biggest cover-ups. The ADA's cover-up of mercury vapor in the body, its damage, is the biggest cover-up on the Earth.
Sir, I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out in no uncertain terms, because it's one of the things that we do quite well, is that kind of precision. We'll find out, you know, whether that is or is not the case. By the way, you're getting a lot of callers from Winnipeg. Maybe I should be doing that workshop in Winnipeg instead of Edmonton.
Yes, perhaps so. Do you find the level of interest in remote viewing among Canadians to be competitive with that of people here in the U.S.?
In Western Canada only.
Interesting. That is interesting. International line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling from Spain.
From where?
Spain.
Spain. Spain.
Yeah, from Spain. Rota, Spain.
Rota, Spain.
Yeah.
How's everything in Spain?
Nice and sunny.
You're at a naval base?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, I was calling wanting to ask a question about the military. Have you seen what's going to happen with the military after this? After this kill shot?
Well, that's a pretty good question, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him about the government. No answer there. I don't think he's looked at individual organizations' reactions, or have you, Ed? I mean, the military, that's pretty interesting.
No, I have not.
Well,
okay.
That might be worth looking at, because when something occurs on a planetary scale of that magnitude, surely... Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'll tell you what. One thing I am looking at is the PLA. I'm concerned about the People's Liberation Army, because that's one military that I see as a real potential threat to the United States, and before and specifically after a catastrophe.
Young lady, may I ask you a question, please?
Sure.
Since you're in Spain,
mm-hmm.
and there was a recent terrorist action there, not so many Americans, I guess, have a sense of how it really hit the Spanish people.
Oh, yeah. It hit them very hard.
Did it hit there kind of the way 9/11 hit the United States, do you think?
Very much so.
Really?
Yes. Yes, it was. They're comparing it to 9/11. It's all over Spain. There was a national day of mourning. Here in Rota, they had mourning conferences and a day of mourning.
Mm-hmm.
So they really compared it to 9/11. They call it their 9/11.
Yes, indeed.
So it's there. It hit them very hard.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for the call all the way from
sure.
Spain. I really appreciate that. Ed, I suppose the subject of terrorism, pretty front and center in Washington right now, is, compared to all of this, somewhat moot?
There's just too much, and it's too fast, and I wish it weren't moot. I hate even using that word. But because of the sense of urgency, and a couple of years isn't a lot of time. Yes, even the major wars now are moot. Because the great cleansing is coming here. I sure wish I could go after every single one.
Yeah, you sound like a Hopi. You know, Hopi use words like that. Cleansing.
Like what?
Like the great cleansing. They use phrases like that.
The fourth world and
absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
So actually, to be more specific, there.
I'm not a saint. I got to tell you, I hate these guys. And hatred is not
the
a good thing on
yeah.
Easter, yeah.
Yeah.
But like I say, I'm not a saint. And so I can do that. And I wish I had the time. But I don't.
Nor do any of us, if what you say is true. Listen, I want to give you a plug again. I know you've got a CD coming out in about 30 days about the kill shot.
We've got a whole set to a really streamlined, really neat Learn Remote Viewing CDs, too, so people can do this at home. They can't come to my workshop.
So I definitely appreciate all you've told us tonight. You deserve the plug. The number for any of your materials would be a toll-free number, 866-607-8439. Once again, 866-607-8439, and
they can always go to remoteviewing2004.com.
Yeah, that number is good when, Ed?
Anytime.
Oh, 24 hours, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Operators are standing by.
Right.
All right, well, anything during the program tonight that you wanted to get in at all that we didn't cover?
No, I just, let's
That's
drop it. By and let's go have a drink in Pahrump one of these nights. I have a workshop coming up in Vegas in June, and how about I take you out for a drink?
Well, that sounds like fun, actually.
Or Ramona, if you're a stick in the mud.
yeah, we'll work something out.
How's that antenna going? Is that working?
Oh, my God. Yes, is it working?
What frequency can I listen to you on? I'm a shortwave guy.
All right. Why not? I typically hang out on the 75-meter band, Ed, around 3.840, 3840. Lower sideband, so
I'll
you can hear me there. The one thing that you've said, the only thing that you've said that I actually have liked over the last couple of shows is that somehow or another, me and my antenna and shortwave station are going to be on the air through this, or at some point, what, during it, after it?
The whole time.
The whole time.
You'll be out for power down. You'll be down for some power. You know, you'll have to use a generator, but power will come back up. I mean, the basic energetic stuff will be around, fossil fuels and those kind of things. It's just that the Earth will be in pieces. A hot time in the old town tonight.
Yeah, at least. All right. Well, as always, it's you do a hell of a show. I don't know if I want to say it's been wonderful to have you here, because the message is, you know, it goes down a little rough, but it's been one hell of a show, Ed, as always, and we'll do it again soon, brother.
Good Easter to you, Alan Moller.
Take care. All right, there you have it. Remember, what you just heard was a prediction made on the basis of remote viewing, and so you can file it away in your brain any way you want to. We're just one of those things here in the night that does what we do. We bring you these kinds of messages, and you're fully free to discard them or not. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. See you tomorrow night.